First agenda item is the Research Steering Committee report. I'm going to try to get through the agenda today as fast as possible. It's sleeting out right now and scheduled to get worse, so keep that in mind as we move through the day. David, whenever you're ready.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Research Steering Committee met on March 29th. We reviewed a number of items. Those items are in your packet under tab 8. There's six of them. There's a meeting summary, which is the primary document we'll be working from, a copy of the research review policy for your edification. You have six final reports on a CD. Fourth is a peer review of the Southern New England Yellowtail Flounder Pilot Industry-Based Survey Project. You have the peer review. Fifth is a background document, correspondence with Pat Kirkle on research priorities for 2006. And the sixth one is also a background document on correspondence concerning guidelines for individuals requesting exempted fishing permits. Since we did spend, this was a long meeting. We had a lot of stuff to do. I'll try and run through it as fast as I can. I'd like you to keep in mind that the objective of the RFC's management review of final reports is to provide feedback to the council, its oversight committees, and the plan development teams on the applicability and use of project results in management decision-making. So, as I said, we did review a number of gear experiments. There are quite a number of gear experiments still in the pipeline that will be coming forward. There was a gear workshop on haddock trawl separators conducted at UNH this past week. So there'll be quite a bit of information coming forward over the next several months on various gear experiments. The first one we reviewed was a groundfish trawl net designed to reduce bycatch of cod. In the results, this was basically a topless net where they took out the square and most of the top belly. They had a 74%, they reduced cod bycatch by 76%, and their rate of sublegal yellowtail flounder was also reduced. But they also reduced the catch of legal yellowtail flounder and winter flounder. We reviewed the report, agreed that it was well done and thorough. The design and analysis were well described, and the conclusions were consistent with the project results. This is a case of a gear experiment that was designed to do something that we no longer need to do. At the time, we were trying to separate cod from flounders. Now we're trying to get rid of cod and flounders. It was a useful experiment, and it's something we can put on the shelf in case we have to start separating cod from flounders at a future date. So does anybody have any questions on that one? Okay. The final report is on file with the NEC and the council. Second one was development of a net to reduce bycatch of cod in the flounder fishery. This was an experiment that used a rigid grate, various configurations. Basically, the project was not successful. They were unable to separate things clearly. They had a number of problems. This is a useful experiment to the extent that it shows you something that you're probably not going to want to pursue. The biggest problem they had is the grate kept plugging with monkfish and dogfish. We did recommend that this, again, go to the multi-species committees and the plan development teams, and also to protected species, because they deal with grates in the southeast and, trying to exclude turtles and whatnot. And, this basically shows that it's not going to work. I mean, you're going to have problems with the grates getting plugged up with fish. So are there any questions on that one? Okay. Third one was a rope separator trawl for haddock and pollock using B-days in the inshore Western Gulf of Maine. This was a rope haddock trawl, and it significantly reduced the catches of cod with acceptable reductions in haddock catches. The They observed that the new gear reduced and sometimes eliminated all other species that are commonly taken in commercial multi-species trawls, such as flounders, dogfish, lobsters, and skates. They also speculated that the use of the haddock trawl on haddock grounds might reduce cod catch to a level comparable to levels allowed in the eastern U.S. Canada haddock special access program. So they naturally recommended further testing of the gear. We discussed the project. There were some technical issues raised, not problems, just on issues on how to do the analysis. Some of the scientific members had some further analysis that they would like to see, or different analysis. We don't have to really get into it here. But we did provide the PIs with some guidance there. And we also, as a committee, discussed the need to standardize analytical methods and gear research so that these projects would be comparable more directly one to the other. Since everybody tends to use different statistical approaches, it makes it very hard to directly compare the results of the experiments. So are there any questions on this one? Okay. The fourth one was comparative industry-based at-sea experiment to test the performance of haddock separator trawls in closed area one on George's Bank. The results of this one, the catch of cod was less in the haddock separator trawl compared to the catches in the control net. Cod bycatch was 11% of the haddock catch in the two field trials. However, the PIs also reported the experimental net was less efficient at catching haddock as well as other species. Underwater video system was tested during several trips with mixed results. There was insufficient light during those tests to be able to really get clear images. Again, overall, the committee agreed by consensus that there were technical problems with the report as well as serious concerns about the flaw in the experimental design of the project. In addition, the committee concluded that insufficient evidence was presented to support the use of this net modification as a separator panel and had concerns about flounder bycatch. The person who was representing the PIs did agree to go back and do some more analysis, gather some more information, and forward it to us at a later date. But right now, we would recommend that this one we didn't have enough information to make a judgment on. Any questions on that? Okay. Fifth one is bycatch reduction in the directed haddock bottom trawl fishery. The results of this was an experimental trawl that significantly reduced the catch of stocks of concern, including George's Bank cod, yellowtail, winter and witch flounders, and American plaice. Catches of monkfish and skates were also decreased significantly in the experimental net. Importantly, the catch of George's Bank haddock, the target species, did not differ significantly between the experimental and control nets. And the principal investigators concluded that the experimental net could be used in the Council's B-Day at Sea program and special access programs, given that it appears to meet the minimum bycatch requirements for both of those programs. The RSC had a pretty good discussion on this. Again, there were some minor technical comments about how to evaluate the results. Experiment successfully demonstrated a net design that allowed the harvest of haddock while reducing cod catches well below, as well as catches of other stocks of concern. And again, this report's been forwarded to the various committees that it's important to, groundfish, plan development teams, et cetera. Any questions on that? Okay. The last one we examined was examining the efficacy of haddock separator trawl and eliminating cod bycatch in limited areas within closed area one and closed area two. Results of this experiment showed that the experimental trawl significantly reduced the bycatch of cod and virtually all other demersal species, including many regulated species. Overall, 94% of the cod catch by weight aggregated in the bottom cod end where it would have escaped, versus 6% in the top. Although the results demonstrated that separator trawl gear was successful in eliminating most cod bycatch, the gear also excluded more haddock than it captured, a result that would make its commercial uses in a special access program impractical. So, again, this is part of gear research. sometimes the baby goes out with the bathwater. So you have to be aware that not all of these are successful. Committee concluded that the report was useful, thorough, and overall very well done, and that it should be forwarded to the Council's Multi-Species Committee and Plan Development Teams. There's also information on, they did a survey of the closed area for various species, and that information is also in the report, which shows that in, I think it was 10-minute squares, but I have to check, might have been five, that these species clearly aggregate in some parts of the closed area at certain times of the year. And that information will probably be very helpful to managers if they decide to design some kind of special access program into the closed area. So are there any questions on that? Great. Okay. Moving right ahead. The next thing we did was to look over the results of the peer review of the Southern New England Yellowtail Flounder Project. Those results are provided to you. In the interest of time, I'm not going to run through them all. I would suggest that you read them, though, as this was an important project, and the committee agreed with the peer review's findings, adding that the document and the full report will be forwarded to the Council's Plan Development Team for their appropriate use. Are there any questions on that? Okay. Yep.
Thank you, Dave. It's not really a question, Mr. Chairman. It'd be a motion, but it might be more efficient at the end of ground fish or something. Would you rather have it there? But it has to do with the project, but it has basically to do with the lightship area.
Why don't we wait till ground fish?
Okay.
Okay. Next thing we went on to was the...
David?
Yep.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't see you again.
It just went up.
Okay, Bob, I think that you just said that the Research Steering Committee agreed with all of the recommendations that were offered up by the peer review. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just a couple of very quick comments regarding those particular points. It doesn't appear that the Research Steering Committee addressed some of my specific concerns regarding their conclusions. And it's not really a strong concern, but it needs to be brought to the attention of the Council, and that is on page 7 of the summary of the Research Steering Committee's meeting. It notes in the, last bullet that the Southern New England industry-based survey is considered a good example of a cooperative project that provides valuable information on yellowtail flounder in the area. Quite true, and that's a benefit that the COD IBS also provided. But here's my point. Industry-based surveys are considered more appropriate to address short-term issues than to conduct long-term monitoring. I believe that the peer review of this particular survey, this IBS work, is a bit different from the COD IBS review, in that with the COD IBS, the peer reviewers noted that long-term monitoring might be a possibility, provided that the IBS work would be revised in some specific ways. And that's the point that I want to make, that I think it's inappropriate to conclude that the IBS work that was quite well done for cod as well as for yellowtail is a blip on the screen. That is, it's done. Thank you very much. Now we're off doing other things. I think that's an inappropriate position to take regarding the IBS. So my comment for the benefit of the council is that more work on the IBS needs to be done regarding a follow-up on the recommendations from the peer review that suggests that with some changes in the IBS work, there is potential for it to actually be very useful for long-term monitoring. That's the only point I wanted to make regarding that. I just don't want the IBS to be something that happened and now it's a thing of the past. Yes, I realize the monies are going to be made available to analyze the data that's been produced by the surveys, cod as well as yellowtail, but too much good work was done for it to be, once again, relegated to the shelf in some closet. More work needs to be done on the IBS by the committees that were created to work on the details of the IBS. So I'm hopeful that the states involved in yellowtail and cod IBS, working with the Northeast Fisheries Science Center, will follow up on the peer review recommendations and offer up IBS work, industry-based surveys that will actually have some benefit for long-term monitoring that this council so desperately needs.
Okay. The next thing we did is receive a report from Chris Kellogg, who was a member of the study fleet peer review team. This was his recollection of the peer review. We had an interesting discussion, but given that this was not the final document and had not been approved by all the other members of the peer review, we decided to wait for the final document before offering guidance to the council. After that, we moved on to research priorities for 2007. We had quite a long discussion of these. I think it's fair to say that there are still budgetary concerns, at least as of when we had the meeting. Nobody knows exactly what they have for money. The one thing they do know is they don't have much of it. So with that in mind, the committee discussed the situation with the Bigelow coming online, various surveys we needed to fill gaps there, the limited amount of money, the things we needed analyzed for GARM 3, and basically concluded that with the limited amount of money we had available, that the best thing to do was to make sure those gaps were plugged first, that those were our overriding research priorities. So in view of that, I do have a motion, which is to approve those research priorities. And I don't know if they can get it up on the board, but basically what we did is support, as its highest funding priorities for 2007, analysis of the cod and yellowtail flounder IBS data so that information is specified by the scientists conducting the benchmarks assessments is available for the GARM.
That's a committee motion.
That's a committee motion.
It's in the document that you've been working off of, document
yes,
number one.
Yes, it's in the shaded section in the middle of page 8.
Page 8. It's going to be a moment before it's on the board.
Yep.
But for anyone that has looked at it in the document, is there any questions or comments? Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Dave, is this the only research priority that you're highlighting? And the reason I ask that is below the next paragraph, you say funds for continued IBS work and the Maine New Hampshire survey were identified as areas requiring further review.
Right. The only reason I've highlighted these are those are going to go ahead anyway, with or without our approval as a council. Those are apparently being funded through the Science Center out of this money, along with that NEMAP survey that's mentioned at the top, and I think there's a couple other small projects, but these are the only ones that are kind of have not been approved by anybody. So it's
we're still waiting for acknowledgement of the apparent funding.
Yes, the Science Center is still waiting for the funding. I believe I am not, as you know, we're an advisory committee. We don't actually handle the money, but what we were told at the meeting is this is about what we think we have for money. I think the number was on the order of $1.4 million. After you started divvying out these various projects that are going to go ahead, and the ones that they suggested go ahead, that pretty well used up all the money.
Anything else? The motion's now on the board. Give everyone a moment to look at it. Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was trying to get something in there. After what Dr. Pierce said, in terms of long-term needs in the IBS program, one of the things that disturbed me when I read the reports was the lack of standardization in the reporting. And I think that's something we have to stress very strongly, because reading the reports, it was a little difficult to read one and then another, and the lack of standardization made it difficult to interpret them on an equal footing, is what I'm saying. So I think we need to stress the need for standardization in all of these reports. One of the reports actually used a name for a fish that's not accepted by the AFS, and this kind of thing really shouldn't be there. If we're going to use these reports for long-term needs, there has to be a greater degree of standardization in the reporting. That was the thing that stood out to me when I read them. Thank you.
To that point, if you look on, I was going to get to it, on page 8 towards the bottom, it says, as discussed earlier, committee members also agreed that guidance is lacking to assist gear researchers in standardizing experimental protocols, data collection and analytical methods, as well as final report formats. It is suggested that as a follow-up action on the part of the funding agencies and or the research steering committee, that a workshop or similar activity be conducted to try and standardize these protocols.
Okay. Everyone has had a chance to look at the motion on the board. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries 14-0, one abstention. Okay, Dave.
Thank you. See, we also had, as it was getting late in the evening by then, a lengthy discussion on the Science Center's report on the impacts of fishing in groundfish spawning areas. That discussion may have been made more lengthy by the hour that we were doing it at, but we did have a number of comments, concerns, and questions that were raised by this report, and basically agreed to review it further and to have, in the meantime, the various staffs talk to each other and see if some of these unanswered questions could be resolved. So that's an ongoing issue. Hasn't been resolved yet. Or I wouldn't say resolved. We haven't reached a conclusion. There's a lot of questions flying back and forth. I'll take any questions on that if people have them. Okay. Let's see. Lastly, we discussed the issue of the technical reviews we receive for final reports. The consortium has developed a standardized technical review package that has been very useful. It's basically cut down our work tremendously. Most of the information is available right there. There isn't much that we've had to add on. The ones from the NCRPP, however, are somewhat uneven. Some of them have good, solid technical reviews. Other ones are somewhat lacking. So we would like to see the technical review comments that are as complete and thorough as possible for these projects. And we forwarded our concerns to the members of the NCRPP that were at the meeting. If anybody has any questions on that. Okay, if not, that concludes my report.
Thanks, Dave. All right. Dr. Nelson, I believe your time has come.
And I got my Ricola in me just in time, Mr. Chairman.
Excellent.
I didn't hit on the wall.